Thank you. Ladies, gentlemen, I'm going to present to you the interactions between non-exchangeable potassium, clay mineralogy, and specific surface area of soils located in Kazuba soils, which is in Turkey. As you know, potassium is one of the most important and essential plant nutrients. There are four different forms in soils. They are water-soluble, exchangeable, non-exchangeable or reserved potassium, and potassium in mineral forms. Plant available potassium, easily exchangeable one, is mostly determined in soil laboratory analysis. However, reserve potassium of soil is not determined. The studies have shown that specific surface area has a positive relationship with the weathering of minerals. Vermiculite clay mineral in soil is resulted from the weathering of clay mica. When the clay mica starts losing potassium from the interlayers, initially illite forms and eventually vermiculite forms. During this transformation process, specific surface area and the cation exchange capacity of soils increase. Potassium can strongly be bound to the interlayers of illite and vermiculite. Characterization of clay mineralogy is costly, at least in Turkey, and requires long time. The studies have shown that reserve potassium has positive relationship with clay mineralogy. Thus, reserve potassium, which is easy to determine, can be used to estimate the clay mineralogy of soils. Similar to this, specific surface area of soils is related to the size of particles. If the size decreases, surface area increases. Therefore, clay content and clay mineralogy of soils should have a good relationship with the surface area. From this, the main objectives of this study were to estimate and map clay types and mineralogy of soils using the relationship between easily determined soil characteristics such as plant available potassium, reserve potassium, specific surface area, and cation exchange capacity. The relationships were aimed to be modeled using co-kerogen. The study area is located in the Black Sea region of Turkey, which is very close to Russia. The name of the alluvial plain is Kazava, and the size of the area sampled is little over 20,000 hectares. And soils are mostly deep, 0 to 2% or 2 to 6% slope with it. There are many crops in it, and the average annual temperature is 12.4, and the precipitation is around 446 millimeters. Soil moisture regime is mesic, and the temperature regime is eustic. In order to represent the whole area, 400 soil samples were collected from 0 to 30 centimeters of soil surface. Sampling density was 1 sample per 50 hectare. Since the application of grid sampling was really hard in this area due to the intensive infrastructure, insufficient roads, and many villages located within the study area, soil samples were collected with random sampling. And the minimum distance was 100 meters, and the average distance was 460 meters. There were three different paramaterials in the study area. These were limestone on this side, and serpentinite on this side, and the alluvium in the middle of these two paramaterials. And there were, of course, four different land use types in the area. Mineralogical characterization of soils is both taking time and expensive. Therefore, we selected 96 soils for mineralogy based on parent materials. Geostatistics was used to evaluate the variability of soil characteristics. In order to estimate the clay mineralogy of soil samples, which were not analyzed for mineralogy, we initially determined the soil characteristics related to clay mineralogy and used them as a covariate using geostatistical methods. The estimation of clay mineralogy at unsampled locations strongly depends on the strength of the relationship between clay mineralogy and other soil characteristics. What we found in the study area, basically the dominant clay minerals were smectite plus vermiculite, kaolinite, and illite. The highest illite content, these maps were prepared with the using only 96 soil samples. The highest illite content was obtained in the soils formed over limestone. Reserve potassium content of soils were also greater in the same area. Semi-quantitative mineralogical data for clay types were used to evaluate the relationships between clay minerals and soil, other soil characteristics. Smectite and reserve potassium had important negative, and illite and reserve potassium had important positive relationships. The highest correlation for smectite was obtained with cation exchange capacity. Kaolinite had also important positive relationship between cation exchange capacity. For the specific surface area and plant available potassium had important positive relationship, whereas no relationship was obtained between reserve potassium and specific surface area of soils. Cation exchange capacity and surface area had very strong relationship, whereas no relationship was obtained between surface area and any of the clay minerals identified. In geostatistical analysis, clay minerals had longer range values than the other soil characteristics evaluated. Relative nugget value, which is used to classify the spatial dependency of a property, was lower than 25%. This means all the soil characteristics have very strong spatial dependency. The smectite maps created by co-kriging with CEC, cation exchange capacity and reserve potassium, helped us to improve the details of the smectite distribution in the area. The first map was prepared only with 96 soil samples, and when we used the relationship with smectite with cation exchange capacity, the detail of the clay mineralogy map was better, and if we used two covariates, the detail was greater than the other two. The similar results were found for illite and kaolinite too. And in kaolinite, since the CEC cation exchange capacity had important negative correlation with kaolinite content, CEC was used as a secondary variable to estimate the kaolinite content of soils, which were not analyzed for clay mineralogy. It's clearly seen in the second map that the new map created using co-kriging with cation exchange capacity containing more details as compared to the map using ordinary kriging. Of course, when we use co-kriging, mean error and root mean square standardized error were increased. However, co-kriging enabled us to estimate the clay mineralogy of unsampled locations. To conclude, at the beginning of the study, since specific surface area is a function of clay content and clay mineralogy of soils, we expected to obtain relationships between specific surface area and clay mineralogy, as well as with reserve potassium. Although I have not presented, clay content and surface area had important positive correlation, whereas no relationship was obtained between surface area and any of the clay mineral types identified. However, cation exchange capacity and reserve potassium content of soils had important correlation with clay mineral contents. Thus, they were successfully used to estimate the clay mineralogy of soils and clay mineralogy of unsampled locations. The maps created with co-kriging contained more detailed information as compared to those obtained with ordinary kriging, and other soil characteristics such as Atterberg limits and other mechanical characteristics can also be estimated through co-kriging. And your questions and comments welcome. Kazawa.
Was on the northern side?
Yeah, it was on the northern side. It was very close to the Black Sea.
And so you were able to separate kaolinite from serpentine in your mineralogy?
In the valley. Actually, we've analyzed for the mineralogy of soils, and actually, I did not understand exactly what the question is. Can you explain?
Well, I was wondering, when you went through the X-ray diffractogram.
Okay.
You went by a little bit.
Do you want to see it once more?
Yeah.
Here it is. Kaolinite.
Okay, so did you do a treatment where you heated?
Yes, we heated the sample, and it's not shown over here.
Did that peak go away?
Peak was still there, and that's why. No. When we hit it at 550, peak was lost.
Okay, good.
Otherwise, it's going to be. It was going to be chloride. Any other questions?
Did you account for variation in soil texture, which also affects CEC beyond just the clay mineral fraction, through your specific area measurements? Or a broader question, how did you account for variation in soil texture?
Actually, we variation in soil texture was, this was a, the part that I presented over here was a small part of the big project. And of course, we accounted the variation of soil texture, especially in the alluvial plain. We've sampled all the 400 soils, and we created map of the soil texture too. But for mineralogy, we accounted, of course, the soil texture too. When we were choosing 96 soil samples, we accounted basically the parent material. And the second thing was the soil texture. Was that the question?
Yes.
It seems you have a little bit of particles here in the sample on the right side one.
Here, over here? This one? Sorry, I could not hear it. Particle scout?
Yes.
A perigoscite?
Oh,
okay. Might be, but I was basically interested in seeing smectite, illite, and vermiculite. Even for the vermiculite, I know how to differentiate the vermiculite and smectite, but I had to send my samples to another lab and pay money for the X-ray diffraction. We just wanted to see if we can map the clay mineralogy using the relationship between the other soil properties.
Dr. Gibson. Are there any additional questions? Thank you, Dr. Gibson.
Thank you.